example, I lived for some part of my life before Krishna consciousness in the harbor town, Hamburg, and I can tell you it is a very tough town. And there's a lot of criminality, a lot of money in Germany. Maybe it's the second richest town in Germany. And yes, I lived there and I knew both the dark sides and the of Hamburg, and I also knew the cultural sides, the theaters, the places where the rich people would go. And I became a devotee in London actually, and then joined in Hamburg. And I remember when we lived in the temple, Prabhupada wrote us a letter actually about his temples. He said, "These temples are not in the material world." I had just come from the material world and I thought, wow, God, I have found the escape door. So, yes, this is technically speaking analogy, I think, isn't it? Because I'm so thankful. That's a problem. I'm not a saintly person, but Prabhupada is here. Good. All right. So welcome everyone. We were just seeing Jayarada Madhava, then I will change the text with you. Is there will there be a projection of the text or
you will tell us?
I could. I have it here in I think it's nice if we keep the format of changing the sunset. Who's a good writer? Amdaya Chandika is the best. I know that is she here. Would you be willing to offer your calligraphic skills? And
just have to. Sorry, here.
We need now second eyes. They always get lost. So, Adriana Chandika, where is she? Here. Can you give this to Adriana Chandika? Maybe you just write.
You're right next to me for the fair time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Advaita Vaishnava Vrindaki, is confounded by Acharya Srila Gopala Ki, Samavita Bhakta Vrindaki, Gaura Premanandiri Hariya Go, all glories to the Assembly, 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 all glories to Sri Ramya, all glories to Sri Ramya.
Tasya pranambam vadanti Sharam tu jivam paramam eva lakshyam
Sharam tu jivam param eva lakshyam.
Understand, thank you. Can we have one more to see, please?
Aksham dasha pranam dharma dharma.
Aksham dasha pranam dharma dharma.
Chakre vimanam adhinam sajiva.
Chakre vimanam adhinam sajiva.
Dhanur hitasya pranavam patanji.
Dhanur hitasya pranavam patanji.
I'm sorry, we are already so late, so the whole community. The 10 kinds of error, my dear devotees. What are these 10 kinds of error? They're not what you. They're things which you control in yoga. The 10 kinds of error acting within the body are compared to the spokes of the chariot's wheels, and the top and the bottom of the wheel itself are called dharma and adharma, or religion and irreligion. The living entity in the bodily concept of life is the owner of that chariot. The Vedic mantra pranava is the bow. The pure living entity himself is the arrow, and the target is the Supreme Being. It's one of these texts where we need a little context in order to understand. So Prabhupada supplies us with this. 10 kinds of life air always flow within the material body. They call it prana, apana, samana, jnana, vidana, naga, kurma, krikala, devadatta, and dhananjaya. They are compared here to the spokes of the chariot's wheels. Life air is the energy for all of a living being's activities, which are sometimes religious and sometimes irreligious. Thus, religion and irreligion are said to be the upper and lower portions of the chariot's wheels. Well, now, this was quite technical. Now, we'll talk about something which is more of devotional concern. When the living entity decides to go back home, back to Godhead, his target is Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the conditioned state of life, one does not understand that the goal of life is the Supreme Lord. Nate vidu svata gatin vishnu durashaya ye vahya aptamanina. The living entity tries to be happy within this material world, not understanding the target of his life. When he is purified, however, he gives up his bodily conception of life and his false identity is becoming to a certain community, a certain nation, a certain society, a certain family, and so on. And then he takes the arrow of his purified life, and with the help of the bow, the transcendental chanting of pranava, all the Hare Krishna mantra, he throws himself towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So because it's early in the morning, we need a little oxygen maybe also. Okay, so one devotee is already asleep. Just for some time, then we will. No torture intended for some time. So I would like to summarize this, because, my dear devotees, I have been lecturing this year maybe 5 times already on this text, and the more I read it, the clearer it becomes, or I gain more and more insights. It is said here, it's described here by Srila Prabhupada, how when we want to enjoy this material world, we do not understand as the supreme goal of life, the superior goal of life. But at the time when one is purified in his heart, one does understand that one doesn't belong to this world, to a community, a nation, even a body. One is not a man or a woman, German or a Slovenian, no. One understands these are all upadis, and they go. And at that time, we take our life, which is free from these upadis, these designations of false labels. We take our life and we think, what is the goal of my life now, and how do I get there? And at that time, we understand Krishna is the goal of my life, and I get there by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So Prabhupada writes this very beautiful, please note the expression. Then he takes the arrow of his purified life, and with the help of the bow, the transcendental chanting of Pranava or the Hare Krishna mantra, he throws himself towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has commented that because the verse bow and arrow are used in this verse, one might argue that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity have become enemies. However, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead may become the so-called enemy of the living being, this is his chivalrous pleasure. For example, the Lord fought with Bhishma, and when Bhishma pierced the Lord's body on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, this was a kind of humor or relationship of which they are to help. When the conditioned soul tries to reach the Lord by hurling an arrow at him, the Lord takes pleasure, and the living entity gains the profit of going back home, back to Godhead. So it's good if you make Krishna the target and you use the mantra as a bow, and you as a purified concept, you know, you must purify your life from these labels, and then hurl yourself back home, back to God. It's good, the Lord takes pleasure. Another example given in this regard is that Arjuna, as a result of piercing the anamina, or the fish, within the chakra, achieved the valuable gain of Draupadi. Similarly, if with the arrow of chanting the holy name of the Lord, one pierces Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, by dint of performing this heroic activity of devotional service, one receives the benefit of returning home back to Godhead. Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Krishna. My dear devotees, we have assembled here on the invitation of the Ljubljana temple and wonderful devotees who are serving here and keeping this holy place in the capital, the green capital of Europe. This is the official name of this town, the green capital of Europe. And there we have this nice Holy Name Festival, which has many benefits, but maybe the supreme benefit for us is that we can come together, devotees of Lord Krishna, and we can support each other by moving forward in our spiritual life. My contribution during this festival is, amongst others, to give this lecture, and I have thought deeply how I could support all of you in your own relationship with the Holy Name. I have felt that today I will talk a little bit from my own, let me say, experience with Srila Prabhupada's instructions on chanting and with my own application or attempt to apply these. The first time when I saw how much importance Srila Prabhupada places on the chanting, it was in a public program in Königstein, Germany. My parents were at this program, and I was a little bit anxious because I hoped they would give up their distance to Krishna consciousness, the reservation, by meeting Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, we invited them to this program. They wrote in the same card as Sankirtan devotees, and one enthusiastic Sankirtan devotee told all the others her method of getting maximum amount of money from the non-devotees. You smile in their face, and then you take a big note out of the open purse and dangle it and say, "Don't be attached." So they were quite shocked by this method. They had not expected such a method. They thought it was thievery with a smile. This is what my father told me afterwards. And they were a little bit, the distance has become bigger into Krishna consciousness. So they told me at the beginning of the program, we're not sure if you are in good company, but I said, wait until you see Srila Prabhupada, and you make your final conclusive judgment at that time. And something happened in this program. I must admit I forgot the content of the lecture. I only know Prabhupada preached about how we are not the body in this lecture, public lecture. And then after the closure of the lecture, he chanted for a brief time and then invited his audience for questions. And one man stood up and said, this chanting, I have watched you and your followers. This chanting seems to me to be self-hypnotism. Now, that time hypnosis was not considered to be a valuable therapeutic practice. It was something like escaping the reality. So he said like this, and I thought, oh no. The Prabhupada looked at him and really said strongly, but with a lot of feeling, no, it is not self-hypnotism. It is self-purification. And he said it in such a way that, you know, the person became silent and he could see he was a real devotee of the Lord, a real saintly person, speaking from his experience, sharing that this is something to purify the heart. And after the lecture, I went to my parents and asked them, so what is your impression? And they said, you know, when he answered this question, we could see that he is a saintly person. And this man should not have asked this question in this way. And in this way, something began to change in the perception of Krishna consciousness. It was a long journey for them, but they came to really appreciate and be grateful in their lives for the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. But it started all there, and I noted it also. It was so genuine. This is purifying the heart. Prabhupada really meant it. It was like, this is purifying the... No, he said it very softly, but strongly. This is self-purification. And everyone felt it in the audience. Yes, yes, we need to become free from all these unnecessary thoughts, all these problems, all these worries and anxieties. And we should clean our heart. It is a good project. It is necessary. I always remember how Prabhupada said so deeply and so genuinely and so, for me as his disciple, so lovingly and compassionately, but also so strongly, that this is purifying the heart. And I always kept this as a sacred memory of my own times with Prabhupada, because I was there in the audience. In fact, I sat next to him on the floor, of course. And yes, it was really wonderful. And now, as this time is long, almost, as I look back, I always remember Prabhupada calling us to purify our lives. On that visit in Germany, he said to one priest, I have not come to preach philosophy to you. I've just come to ask you to chant and purify your heart. And then he said something which is noteworthy in these modern times. He said, and then you will realize your constitutional position. In the Vaishnava context, this is a very monumental sentence. It means, in order to realize who you are, self-realization, it is necessary to just purify your heart by chanting Hare Krishna, and that will give you your understanding of who you are and your relationship with Krishna. He said this. I was also there in the morning walk, and I heard it for the second time, his emphasis on chanting, where he even said he had not come to to preach philosophy. Of course, I mean, he's written many books. This is philosophy. But the purpose of this literature, the purpose of his lectures and preaching, is just to convince us to take to the chanting of the holy name and realize our constitutional position. I've reflected on these two statements with one of my god brothers. Maybe you know him, perhaps he visited you. His name is Agnidev. Do we know Agnidev in Slovenia?
Yes.
We know. He is a very he was for a long time a temple president, and he is very convinced of chanting. He's really a man of the of chanting, and in his old age he travels everywhere. He also likes to sing Vaishnava songs. We always talk about this one purport where Prabhupada says how important Vaishnava songs is. He said one should chant, Prabhupada says, one should chant the bona fide songs received from the disciplic succession. One should chant them. So once I said to him, "You're traveling all over the world," and he says, "Yes, Maharaj, I'm already beyond jet lag. I'm beyond that. I just don't know any longer where I am and what's the time. I travel so fast." And devotees ask me to chant with them, so I do this. And I said to him, "I'm also chanting more as I become old, and you know what I've realized? I want to chant without becoming bored. This is my duty, my task at the moment. I want to just chant without becoming bored with the process." How do we say bored in Slovensky? In English? Yes, Nick. Yes, no dobyczasmen or whatever it is. No becoming bored. And that is possible, my dear devotees, when the heart is purified. Then you will not feel, "Oh, I have chanted now 16 rounds," or, "Oh my God, I'm sitting in this kirtan. When is it ever ending?" I mean, yes, I know they say in the lectures this is good for me, but I want to eat now. It's better for me. Without this, and this, my dear devotees, is possible if you purify your life. Then you will appreciate Krishna's presence in the holy name without stopping. You must purify your life. And Prabhupada speaks here about one process of thinking which we must do. We have to see, who am I really? When everything which is not me falls away from me. What is not me? Well, my passport identity is not me. I have a new domain which was given in Russia to me. It's not me. It's very, very beautiful in my opinion, but it's not me. I have a dental pain in the between 6 and 7 on the upper row in the tooth, but that's not me. Who am I really when everything falls away which is not me? This question is important to chant, because it will connect you with a mission and with a project which you have forgotten most of the time. When you come down to the essence, to who you are, you begin to understand, I have a big need. I am a soul. I'm a part of Krishna. I belong to him. He was with me before my birth. He was with me during the hours of my birth in this world. He is now always with me in the heart, and he will be with me when I leave this body, and he loves me somehow or other. But I am not responding. I'm not there in this relationship. So this is but the moment you purify your life from that what is not you, when all these things fall away, your anxieties, your worries which you have by living trying to fulfill desires which don't even belong to you, at that time you will hit upon a very, very living connection, a divine connection that is your relationship with Krishna. And this is what you do when you chant. I always tell the devotees, especially those who lead kirtan, I tell them, be careful. When you sit down, your whole life sits down with you in the kirtan, and it will be influencing you. So better make sure that you, the things which do not belong to your life, they go. You're not burdening the audience with this. So this is when you chant, you should sit down and think, this is now my chance to become real. I want to become real now. I want to go deep inside, and I want to sing for Krishna's pleasure, because he always was my Lord, he always is my Lord, and he always will be my only Lord. No? And at that time, you begin to think a little bit about Krishna. You focus on Krishna. Then I know the Hare Krishna devotees become agitated when I tell them they should think of Krishna. I have often thought this is the movement for doing this, but then I'm severely criticized. What we mean here is you can sit before the deity and look at deity, at the deities. What you have read in the Gita, I'm the father and the mother of all beings. You can think about how Krishna is your father and also mother. He's your origin, in other words. You come from him. You think about, somehow you think about Krishna. This is based on the Shastras, because the Shastras tell us who Krishna is. They come into this world as the Pratinidhi Rupa, means the representative of Krishna, the representative form of Krishna. And they give you Shastra Kripa, you know, they give you a certain understanding which we as devotees speak, that this mercy that I can hear this. We hear about qualities of the Lord from the Shastras, that he is not that he's Bhakta Vatsala, the friend, the true friend and well-wisher of his devotees. There is even a verse where Akrura says, who can ever look for someone else for shelter when it's sure that you are the grateful friend of the living entity? Grateful means Krishna is so thankful for any service you do. So in other words, you connect with Krishna. And then you do something which is wonderful. You focus your attention on the chanting. And at that time, as you chant the holy name with great attention, this holy name will take you to Krishna. It will like a bow which takes an arrow and shoots it somewhere. In the same way, the holy name will take you. But
first, you have to be you. You have to be real. So therefore, think in the beginning. Align yourself. That's a difficult English word, I know. It means put yourself in a place where you can just be real. I come now. This is a wonderful time for me. I don't have to, at this moment, drive with a car. I have reached. I don't have to write emails. Best is you put your mobile phones where so much emails always come on the auto modus. Switch it off and you just, now I'm there. Let me see. Who am I? I'm Prabhupada always said, what did he say? I'm not the body. Does he maybe mean this? Is it such philosophy? It seems to be real. I'm a soul. I'm not of this world. I have no identity with this gross, subtle body. But I have a concern. I need to go back and assemble and to my relationship. And then you think about your relationship, this one relationship that is that you are part of the Lord, and then you focus on the mantra, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
She was known as Krishna, means a great, great devotee of Krishna. I heard once she is an expansion of the goddess of fortune, but I'm not so sure. But she has a divine aura. She's really something wonderful. And it was... her father, Drupad, sent messengers to the kings of the world that his unmarried daughter, Draupadi, would choose on a given day a husband from the assembly of the kings. So, because Draupadi's fame was spread all over the civilized world, all the kings assembled. Even in that royal assembly, there was Krishna Balaram, from Mathura they had come. Oh, they were, everyone was there, my dear devotees. Yarasandha was there, Duryodhana was there, Karna was there, and all the big kings, Shalya was there, his sister Samadri, who was married to Pandu. Everyone was there to compete for the hand of Draupadi. Now her father, Draupadi, wanted that Draupadi be given to only one man, that is Arjuna, the great devotee of Krishna. And in order to find, but Arjuna, no one knew where he was at that time. He and his brothers, that was the rumor, had maybe been assassinated, killed. The evil Duryodhana had arranged that they be invited to a palace made of highly inflammable shabak. And in the night, when the five Pandavas stayed in this palace, a fire broke out, and in the morning, five unrecognizable bodies of men were found in this palace of shalak. So everyone thought there was a fire accident, or that some thought it was not really an accident, it was something Duryodhana had initiated, had started. So most of the people, most of the kings thought the Pandavas had been burned to death in that terrible fire. But King Draupadi thought, you never know, these Pandavas, they are protected by the Lord. So he devised a very difficult test. Only those who had passed the test would be suitable husbands for Draupadi. But it was almost impossible. There was a wooden fish. He was protected. He was put on a pole which was 20 meters high, quite high. And there was a wheel which was turning, and the archer would have to take a bow of Lord Shiva, which is very difficult to string and to bend, put an arrow there and aim at the fish. But listen to this, they couldn't take direct aim, and they had to look into a basin of water, look down and see through the spokes of the wheel which was turning the fish, and then shoot the fish. And no one could do this. No one. No one. Not possible. It's too difficult. So, on the day of the Swayamvara, all the kings sat down in the arena. In the center there was a podest with the bowl and this pole and the fish up there, and Drishtadyumna, the brother of Draupadi, called out, who of you wants to try? So the kings came forward, but they were not the small kings, not the Maharajis. Maharajis are people who can fight with 10,000 people at the same time and conquer them. So all the minor kings came, but they couldn't even string the bow. The bow just, you know, when they tried to bend them, the bow obstinately resisted and threw them off the podest, and they were rubbing their bones and said, it's impossible anyways. And they were humiliated back to the seat. Ben Kana Rose. He went to the place where the bow was, and he took the bow, and as easy as a child takes a stick, he bent it and fixed the arrow, and everyone knew if he would shoot the arrow, he would hit the target. He was so good. He had shown it many times. He was trained by Parushuram personally. So Krishna sat next to Balaram. Then he closed his eyes. At that moment, the inspiration came to Draupadi. Draupadi said very loudly, "I will not marry the son of a chariot driver." Spitting fire. Then he was crying and he put the bow down and he went and sat down. Krishna went, "Oh." Then some others came. I have no time for these others, they are not so important. But then Duryodhana came. The moment Duryodhana came, Draupadi started to shake. "Not him, not him." Duryodhana came to the poor guest. Krishna looked at Balaram. And he took the bow. "My dear devotees." And very easily he bent the bow. He took the arrow, shot the arrow, and it missed the fish by this distance. Everyone laughing like, Duryodhana, however, was so angry and uncontrolled that he took the sacred bow of Lord Shiva and boom, threw it on the podest and said, "Nonsense!" and sat down. Duryodhana said, "Is anyone else there who wants to try?" No one rose. "Is anyone else there who wants to try?" At that time, out of the quarters where the Brahmin sat, a young Brahmin moved into the center of the arena and said, "Is it allowed that Brahmanas compete?" All the Kshatriyas said, "Sit down, you. Your hands are made for books, not for bowls. Is it allowed that Brahmanas compete for the hand of Draupadi?" "Tell," said Krishna, "it is all right if a Brahmana marries a Kshatriya lady. It's not all right if a Kshatriya marries a Brahmana lady. This is the ancient Vedic tradition. If you want to try, you can try." The young Brahmana went to the podest. He took the bow and effortlessly strung it. He quickly took aim. He shot. And the fish came tumbling down, boom, on the podest. All the Brahmanas began to wave their cloth. Our man. They were very enlightened. "Yes, we are useful, the Kshatriyas. They should go and eat some porridge, you know. By our yagas, we are very strong. We are Kshatriyas." "No, this is not possible. This is not possible." And they ran into the and began to fight with the Brahmana. But the Brahmana, listen to this, within seconds, he shot arrows so far that no one could see how he put the arrows on the bow and how they loosened. It was like a stream of arrows which came to him. In that moment, another brahmana came. He was very tall, and he ripped out a tree and he began to brandish the other chakras with the tree, so that even Kana had to run for his life. At that moment, Krishna turned to Balaram and said, "That's him. That's him. And that's the other him. And there are three other hims." You know who that Brahmin youth was? Arjuna, of course. And who was that person with the strength of 20,000 bulls? Beam, say, beam. But the point here is, by this, by putting the arrow on the bow and using it properly, something most valuable, Draupadi, came to the five Pandavas, and later they ruled the world very just, and so on. Now this happens. It's something most valuable. The lotus feet of Krishna are gained if you chant in this way, which is detailed in this shloka there. And I have a suggestion. I know that today I'm also chanting. I've been invited to chant. I'm hiding always behind Gaur Krishna, near the Gaur Krishna Bhajan band. So, we chant. And I want to show you how you can really apply this secret, which is revealed so mercifully in the pages of the Bhagavatam to us. It is a methodology of chanting properly, how you can apply it in your own chanting of the holy name. That is, I will invite you to join and try this. Because after all, we should live the Bhagavatam. We should not just listen to the Bhagavatam. We should live it also. So that will be better. That will be very good for us. Hare Krishna. I don't know. Little over time. Ananta, what should we do? We have a little bit more time. We can take a little bit. There's a festival. We are amongst ourselves. Dobro. So, Hare Krishna, my dear devotees. Did you understand something from this lecture? And will you forget it?
Yes.
It's very important. What Srila Prabhupada was asked also by a reporter, what do you feel when you chant? Prabhupada said, I feel no fear. This is the word of fear. Mahatya Loka or Kunta Loka. And the spiritual world is the world without fear. Why? Why means without? Why Kunta Loka? He said, when I chant, I feel no fear. Because it is bringing the chanting transports to the chanter, to another dimension of this life. To the level of Krishna consciousness. Yes, it's conscious of Krishna. Do you know who's the acharya of chanting? Haridas Thakur? Yes. Haridas Thakur gives three important principles for chanting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this His first thing is that will help you, and the second thing is that will help you also very much, and the third thing is that will help you also very much. I'm not saying it. Now I want to see if there are questions, and I think there will be a question. I'm missing the potency. I already know my question. I know that there will be a question where I can say it. Hare Krishna. Krishna. Yes, is there other questions? Just see. What are the three things? They will come in a second. I want to build up the tension so that the devotees will pay full attention and not see it like something they forget immediately. So I will say, don't worry. Yes.
To put our identity aside before we approach the Holy Name, we heard it.
To put our identity aside before we approach the Holy Name, we heard so many times. And I believe we all tried it. We all try to adjust what we consider ourselves before chanting. But it seems that we stop trying and maybe discouraged by our failed attempts or shied away from Krishna. Can you tell us how can we continue on or go deeper in it? Since it's so essential to the practice.
I would recommend to do it positively, not to put identity aside, which is difficult. You just concentrate that you are a servant of Krishna. This is also the meaning of the mantra. Please accept me in your service. You come in this. Not, oh, I'm not Philip Herzegovina, or I forgot your name, Herzegovina, or whatever it is, but I'm a servant of Krishna. This is how you can approach the chanting very, very nicely. And of course, here the example of Haridas Thakur will help you very much, because in his example there are three principles which are very helpful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says one should follow the easy path of the past acharyas. Is the life of Haridas Thakur easy? What is easy then? No, you can't imitate Haridas Thakur, but you can apply the principles which he applied in his life, and then the path becomes very easy. And these three principles, which I'm sorry, I introduced them in a little, I don't know, not such a good way. And these three principles are, first of all, determination. My dear devotees, you cannot get anything in your spiritual life without determination. Rupa Goswami describes this, the perseverance. You know, you must persevere, and again and again be determined. I will now sit down to chant. I will make it. I will give my best. The next principle of Haridas Thakur is one moment. Mm.
strange at the moment. Maybe I'm too traveled too much. I can't remember, to be very honest. But the last principle is compassion for all living entities. Someone who wants to chant and wants to also advance in his spiritual life must learn to think and act for the benefit of others. It's a very important ethical principle which must be learned. It comes again and again in the Bhagavatam as Daya and Maitri, Karuna, and so on. It's something very important that you think for how can I benefit others. And the third principle is maybe I'm looking toward.
Always chant.
Yeah, thank you. Oh Krishna, you saved me. To chant incessantly. You should, as much as possible during the day, chant. You should remember to chant. You know, Germans always sing in the bathroom for some reason. When the water comes, they wake up and boom, they sing. I also, by my past upbringing, the moment I'm under the shower, my kirtan starts. But I've lately seen that's not enough, you know. Maybe not even the best place, you know. The best place is really, you know, sing during the day, sing when you're in the car, sing when you are waiting to the queue. I hear many people spend their time standing in queues. I remember once I was in the Zurich airport and I had to wait at the security. So I chanted different melodies and I for a moment I think I forgot that I was standing in queue. A man, a businessman, turned around and looked at me and I thought he would chastise me now for singing so close to his ear a song he has never heard. But he said, "Life is empty without singing, isn't it?" Yes. What do you sing? Wow, what do I sing? Oh, that's such a good song. Good words which fit for every melody. Would you like to know? Yes, for every melody. Yes, anything. Good melody. You know, but it's it's a song which is making, has an effect on your mind. You become very peaceful. What? I need that. That's what I knew this. So I said, let us first go through the security. Then I tell you. And then they stopped me at the security because I have in the bag all this.
Already some music now. I think I used it. Here. And this little bag, and inside is this. And it looks for the security people as if this is, you know, maybe in India. So then I have my chance to show. Then I show them, and I sing a little for them. So he had to wait for me because I had to go through the special check. Music. And then we sat down and I showed him quickly how to do kirtan and I said, you can Google Hare Krishna kirtan, there will be many kirtans, and you can sing along and learn this song and then sing it always. You don't You need to buy CDs any longer. You have your own Hare Krishna music. And he said he was grateful for this. I remember when he turned around, life is so empty without singing. Yes. So incessant singing. So these are the three principles. Determined, be determined, don't be tired. Haridas Thakur was so determined that even when he was was persecuted severely, he continued to chant, sing incessantly, this is how it is translated, or as often as possible, and finally do something for the good of others. It's very important. It's very important. And you know, by really thinking what you can do for others, you leave automatically your own little world. You think, what do they need? What would be good? How could I present Krishna consciousness that they are inspired? I knew this would be a question. In the old times we asked, how can we attain this? We tried many times, but can you please give us a tip how we can be successful? And this devotees usually ask this question at the end of the lecture, which gives some instructions. So it is easy to foretell that such a question will come. And these three principles will help you. Determine, be more determined. Chant incessantly. Try to chant as often as possible. And finally, do something for the benefit of others. This will change your whole outlook in life and your whole character. And you will actually become a devotee by this. Good. I will end the class here, not because I'm inspired to continue, but we are at 9:30 and we want to go and do something for the benefit of the green capital of Europe today. We want to do moving Harinam and remove the cloud of nations. Still a little, in the morning it was a little cloudy. Thank you very much. I wish you a wonderful day. Please keep this in your memory, and Srimati Tangi comes forward to give us some orientation of the day. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.